We're here celebrating that we are indeed here, and I bid you welcome this morning to Essex Church and to this, our gathered community of Kensington Unitarians. Our community is open to all, it's made of all who gather here. And we've arrived all in our different ways, with our different beliefs and experiences, each following our own unique life path, each with our own unique stories to tell. And we have our shared humanity in common, and perhaps a shared interest in something deeper in life and in our world. So let's be open and receptive, here and now, to life and its mysteries. Prepared to step over thresholds of our own making, softening that which is rigid within us, strengthening that which is weakened, balancing ourselves, and so, I believe, helping to balance our world. Welcome. Welcome one and all. Here are some words on true religion by the Reverend Cliff Reid, and I wonder if any of this connects with your own experience. Does any of this inspire you to get up and be here on a wet Sunday morning? If a religion is true, it sets you free to be your true self. It nurtures loving kindness in your heart. It humbles you before the ultimate and before your neighbour. If a religion is true, it challenges your conscience and it opens your mind. It makes you responsible for yourself and for your world. It stirs you to seek the liberty and well-being of others. If a religion is true, it deepens your awareness and it nourishes your spirit. It brings you comfort and strength in times of grief and trial. It connects you to other people and to the life of the universe. If a religion is true, it will care less for dogma and doctrine than it will for love. It will care less for rules and customs than it will for compassion. It will care less for the gods we make than for the people we are. And so may ours be a true religion. Tyler's lighting our simple chalice flame and reminding us that truth and liberty and acceptance of diversity are precious gifts to be valued and nurtured. For we inhabit a world, don't we, where too many still yearn for such gifts. And so for anybody listening to this service at a later date on a podcast, you can hear the People's Shipping Forecast on Radio 4's Shipping Forecast webpage, and it's read by Murray Lachlan Young. He wrote it for National Poetry Day last autumn, having asked members of the public to write in little snippets of what was happening in their lives. And when I first heard it, I couldn't help but think it was a bit like our candles of joy and concern, all in this together. So in that spirit, shall we join now in a time of prayer and reflection, which is remembering Holocaust Memorial Day, which happened on the 27th of January this last week. You'll perhaps know that in 1945, on that date, the concentration camp at Auschwitz was liberated, and we're called to bear witness to humanity's ability to turn against itself and to create false divisions based on race, religion, ethnicity, political affiliations, whatever. That potential for genocide surely lies within the divisions we create in our own minds and hearts. And so I call on the divine spirit of life and love to be with us now and to bless this time we spend together. As we mark Holocaust Memorial Day, we are called to remember the depths of our potential inhumanity to one another, and to commit ourselves again and again to the building of bridges across divisions and separations. In order to survive, we sometimes build walls and create boundaries, both in our own lives and in the lives of our communities. And of course, they help us to feel protected, yet they also separate us from others and create even greater divides. May all such walls be temporary and movable, with gaps for us to look through, openings that allow us to perceive realities other than our own. When we think we know the truth, may we remember that it is only our truth, true from our perspective. And may we be ever aware that there is more to this existence than we can ever know, and be therefore more curious and gentle travellers on the paths of life. Perhaps in our own lives, we have built a wall. Perhaps in our own lives, we have reached across a barrier, a divide, dismantled a wall that we realized was no longer needed. Perhaps we can own our individual and collective potential for evil. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Let's never forget our own power to make things better in this world and in ourselves through simple acts and small adjustments in our thinking. And may this day be made a little brighter and lighter because we exist. And may this be so for the greater good of all. Amen. I'm going to read from a piece now by Meg Barnhouse called Disaster Season. Meg is minister of the UUA congregation in Austin, Texas, the community that our very own Kate Brown, husband Dennis, and daughter Lark belong to. I think I'm right in saying, Kate, Meg's a big character, isn't she? And I really like her musings on life. In this piece that I'm going to read a bit of in a moment, she's thinking about how best to cope when life gets tough. Her difficulties begin with a medical procedure which she'd hoped to avoid, and then they continue in the car park. I've anglicised a little bit of her language. Dropping into the seat of my car, putting my head back to gather my courage and good character, I rested for a moment before venturing on to the next appointment. And when I felt ready to go, well, I turned the key in the ignition. Nothing happened, not even a click. Unbidden, the name Bruce came to me. She's already explained that she started naming disasters like they name the weather. So her first disaster was Ava in the medical office. Bruce came to me. Disaster Bruce was hard on the heels of disaster Ava. I called my friend Pat, who came to get me. I called my trusty mechanic, Charlie, who said, "Leave it to me." And that meant that he'd get a tow truck, he'd take the car to the garage, he'd fix it, sort it out. In disaster season, it's of the utmost importance to have this kind of support system already in place. We all know that once in a while it can get really bad. Don't wait until the middle of a storm to make friends and gather trustworthy helpers. Crates of water and bags of provision must be in place, and buttercream mints are not a bad idea either. And so she goes on to the appointment, her friend takes her there, and she goes on to muse about an argument that her and her husband had had a few days ago. Well, it was more than a misunderstanding, it really was a fight. That added disaster Claris to the count. We talked it through with great understanding and emotional maturity, 80% of which was not mine. I hope it's a little while before Storm Daniel comes along. So taking my cue from the weather people, I'm wondering whether to name all the disasters I might see coming far out on the horizon of off the coast of some karmic Africa. But Mark Twain was right when he said, "I have dealt with a lot of problems in my life, some of which actually happened." Disasters often fizzle out over the wideness of the water, or they blow out to sea. I could follow the weather people's lead and call these potential disasters tropical depressions. That's a colourful phrase. I've seen depressions before, but they weren't particularly tropical. They felt more cold and dark and not much fun at all. Tropical ones sound much more festive. So when I see a potential disaster on the horizon, I plan to gather my friends around, have my trusty helpers' phone numbers close at hand, sip fruity rum drinks with umbrellas in them, dance to Cuban music, and keep half an eye on the Weather Channel. Some advice from Meg Barnhouse.
Now, I think this is a very apt poem after a very little disaster. It's a poem by Rumi called The Guest House. It's my absolute favourite Rumi poem because it's, if you like, very didactic. I think it gives fantastic advice. And if I could think about it every single day, I would be free like a bird and wing my way through life. This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they're a crowd of sorrow who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes because each has been sent as a guide from beyond.
Abigail, Barney, Clodagh, Desmond, Eva, Frank, Gertrude, Henry, Imogen, Jake, Katie, Lawrence, Mary, Nigel, Orla, Phil, Rhonda, Steve, Tegan, Vernon, Wendy. They're not the names of new congregation members or new neighbours in our area. They're all storms, or they will be. You perhaps know that the Meteorological Office here in the UK recently decided, along with the Irish Office, to give our storms names as they already did in the States. It's thought to encourage us all to pay more attention and therefore to avoid risk to life in stormy weather if you know Gertrude's on her way. It certainly made me pay attention from the very start of this project because they chose the name of a very dear friend of mine who has, by their own admission, quite a stormy temperament. So stormy that I carefully checked with them that they didn't mind me mentioning this today, just in case they listened into the podcast. So it made us laugh that their name was chosen. This naming of storms only started in October last year, and I'm surprised they've got as far as Gertrude already, who this last week has been blowing at well over 100 miles an hour, reaching gusts of 144 miles per hour on top of the Cairngorm Mountains, closing roads and schools, particularly up in the Western Isles. They know about storms, don't they, up there in the north of the British Isles. Earlier on, we heard a poem written in the style of the shipping forecast, which is broadcast on the radio early in the morning and late at night, each and every day of the year. It's introduced with the same words in every broadcast. And now, the shipping forecast, issued by the Meteorological Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 1600 hours today. Now, perhaps because of this regularity and its almost hypnotic quality, listing the shipping areas all the way round the British Isles in the same order every day, it is much beloved, the shipping forecast, of poets, cultural observers, and all who listen to the radio in the wee small hours. Do take a look at the Radio 4 webpage for the shipping forecast, and you'll find all sorts of gems. Famous people reading it out, poets exploring its imagery, and comedians making us laugh about the many meanings of wind. Because wind is an important aspect of the shipping forecast. Stormy weather is what that forecast is all about. Visibility gets a mention too, but it's the force of the wind that matters most when you're out at sea. You perhaps know the Beaufort scale that measures wind speeds and numbers them from 0 to 12 and describes them from calm through various types of breeze, from light through moderate to strong, then near gale, gale, severe gale, storm, violent storm, hurricane. Trying to put a name and a number to something we're experiencing is a very human way of trying to deal with it, isn't it? We are longing to understand what's going on in life. Now, if you watch weather forecasts on television often enough here in Britain, you soon get to realise that our prevailing winds are coming from the southwest, swirling across the Atlantic from the Americas. But ever so often, some more powerful weather system sneaks in from another direction. Then the news is of Arctic winds bearing down on us from the north, or Saharan dust clouds being carried from far in the south. And if you've travelled much in other lands, you'll know that every part of our globe has its own particular winds and storms. Years ago, I spent time in Israel and the West Bank and came to know the storms that happen almost without warning on the Sea of Galilee. Set in the deep Jordan Valley, with high mountains above it, the Sea of Galilee gives off warm, moist air. Then sometimes the cold air rushes down from the mountain top, meets the warm air, and produces a very sudden, squally storm. So it's perhaps not surprising then that there are a number of stories in the Gospels about such storms. You may know them. In one, Jesus is asleep in a boat with his disciples, some of them fishermen, you might recall. Here's how it's told in Matthew's Gospel. Then Jesus got into the boat and his disciples followed him, and suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." And he replied, "O ye of little faith, why are you so afraid?" And then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." In another story, the disciples go out onto the lake without Jesus and again caught in a storm. They fear disaster. They are being blown ever further to the centre of that lake. And in their moment of desperation, when all seems lost, they see what they first think is a ghost, but then realise is Jesus walking on the water, and the winds died down. Did it ever happen? We'll never know. But the gospel writers are referencing a passage from the prophet Isaiah that the disciples and all the other Jews knew at that time. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you." So said the prophet Isaiah. It's a clear message of comfort in adversity. Now, that ability to comfort a storm clearly identifies Jesus for the gospel writers as divine. We humans, we can't do much about bad weather, can we? What can we do? Make sure we have a waterproof jacket, perhaps. Now, interestingly, in Buddhism, there's a story of the Buddha being endangered by an already wild, violent elephant that the devil has now made drunk on alcohol. That wild creature runs towards the Buddha. Everyone else in the village scatters in fear. But the Buddha merely stands calmly and holds out his hand to the elephant that comes to a halt and bends its knee before the Buddha, whose stillness and presence can calm the wildest of beings. Well, so far as I know, we are not Jesus or the Buddha, not any one of us. Yet I think in all of us there's an ability at times to bring calm, both to ourselves and to others. We can also create an attitude of mind that Rumi suggested in that guest house poem we heard earlier on, which is echoed in Wayne Teasdale's quotation on the front of your order of service today, when he writes that the mystic is preeminently a realist, realizing that there is no other way of navigating the dangerous waters of the mystical voyage but to pass through the storms, through pain and not around it. May we all have the courage, he writes, to traverse these stormy waters. Though in truth, with too many of life's storms, we have little choice anyway. Life inevitably will drag us through those storms. And though I like Rumi's idea that trouble is preparing us, perhaps, for something new and better, yet in truth, we'd often have preferred things to stay as they were. But for other situations, we do well, don't we, to make some preparations in advance. Be sure to have a support team around us. Get in some supplies. Know that plans have to be changed when weather, both real and metaphorical, becomes just too rough to venture out. And keep reminding ourselves that there's a great deal in life we just can't be in charge of. And that's not just Storm Gertrude we're talking about. Because we know, don't we, that Henry and Imogen will soon be on their way. Amen. The Dalai Lama writes that in the face of life's inevitable disappointments, struggles and failures, all one can do is to cultivate a sense of inner peace. And so, may we in the week ahead rediscover moments of inner peace within ourselves and with those around us. May we share the peace we find and help to bring some balance to our topsy-turvy, often wild and windy, oh so precious world. Amen. Go well and blessed be.